You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, the podcast world's version of painful itching and swelling. You know they sell a cream for that, right? It's over the counter. Works really well. I've had to use it a lot.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay, that's fine.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am indeed Ron Van Dam. Thank you so much for coming. Have a nice day. Bye. Oh, wait a minute. It's not over yet. I haven't even started. Relax. I'll take it from here. All right. That'll be enough. That'll be fine. Welcome to the show. How are you? How you feeling? How you doing? It's been a crazy, crazy week so far, and it's only Tuesday. This is getting out of hand. Is it Tuesday? Is it? What year is it? Where am I? Where do I live? Who do I know? This is starting to take a mental toll on me. Yesterday I went into a store and I stood in the middle of the frozen food aisle and I said, "Where am I? Where are the frozen peas?" They had to throw me out. Oh, they had to throw me out big time. It was very, very embarrassing. Yeah. I had to buy cheese yesterday. I was running short on cheese, which is a crisis in my house. I love cheese. Cheese is not friendly to me. We don't have a good relationship. I talk about cheese a lot on this program because I find it to be an amazing product. If you continue the word cheese, you can say cheeses, and that starts getting very religious, and then you're waiting for a second coming. And all you did was start with cheese. It's amazing how it progresses into a whole different ball game. I always have to have cheese in my house because I love it. I love cheddar. I love American. I love Swiss. I love everybody. So they at the supermarket nearby where I live, they have an entire cheese section. They have a section for cheese. that's a good store if there's an entire section just for cheese. And it's not just like regular cheese, it's cheeses from, see there I said it again, it's cheeses from all different countries and all different types, Gouda and not so Gouda and Fontia. I can't even pronounce these things. They're just making up words for cheese. Some of it is very cheap, but most of it's quite expensive. Something like $30 a pound for cheese? Oh, what? It's cheaper to buy a house. Can you imagine if your house was made of cheese, how much that would cost? You couldn't afford it. Yeah, this cheese section, it's very beautiful, too. It has all the cheeses stacked by different countries and by different, you know. It's just wonderful. I love cheese. The problem is cheese is not good to me. Cheese is very caustic to me in the sense that it increases cholesterol. That goes through the roof, which is great. My doctor loves that. When I have a blood test there, you know, my annual physical, my doctor says, "Were you eating cheese again?" And I say, "How did you know?" She's, "Because your cholesterol. Come on, stop it with the cheese." Can't help it. Goes with everything. Sorry. Goes with every single food product except Chinese food. Yeah. And then, of course, I usually don't go to the bathroom when I eat cheese. If I eat a lot of cheese, no, I'm not going near the bathroom. Might as well shut it down. Might as well put a lock on the door. No one's going in there because I can't move my bowels. I can't move anything with cheese in my system. My system just says, all right, we got to deal with cheese now. Let's keep everything just shut down until we figure this thing out. My body does not process cheese very well. But at the same time, my brain says eat cheese, and my body's saying, brain, what are you doing? You're causing problems here. So there's an actual cheese manager. It's a female. And sometimes she's actually standing behind the counter stocking the cheese. I think she buys the cheese. When you're running low on a certain type of cheese, she's called into action. Alarms go off. We're low. We got three more blocks of Gouda. And she breaks into action. She gets on the phone or on the internet, and she orders that cheese in before anybody realizes that they're low on that cheese. She's amazing. She's just amazing. Blue cheese is interesting. Do you like blue cheese? Blue cheese isn't blue, it's just decayed. It looks like it was left out for too long, like 17 years. It starts to, it's got little black and blue specks in it. It looks like it's gone bad, and maybe it has, but it's very tasty. Blue cheese on a hamburger, a blue cheeseburger, oh my God, you haven't lived till you've tried that. But it looks awful. Looks like it should be thrown out. But no. See, even cheese can look like it goes bad, and we still eat it. It's an amazing product. So, and I talked a few days ago about fondue, which is an entire thing, and millennials don't know about this, and I'll repeat it for just a second. You take cheese, you melt it in a pot with the sterno under it, because it has to be very gently melted, and then you take whatever you want, put at the end of a stick, even like a little piece of bread, and you dip it in cheese and you eat it. It's molten lava heaven. It really is. It's amazing. That's a whole cheese thing. That's a cheese festival. When I was younger, we used to call people up and say, come on over, we're going to have a fondue party. There'd be a knock at the door before I could hang the phone up, because the fondue party. There are parties where people gather around a pot of cheese. I mean, it's unbelievable, it's true. You don't know what you missed. You don't know what you missed by not living in a certain time period. I love the cheese. One cheese I don't understand is the yellow cheddar thing. I don't understand that. I don't know why it's yellow. And I found out that there are food dyes that are used in the yellow cheddar cheese, that orange stuff. Food dyes. Let's not go crazy here. Then there's Kraft. They came up with Cheese Whiz. Well, come on now. That's getting a little out of hand, too. Cheese Whiz in a can. Cheese in a can, it's like wine in a box. Come on, don't do that. Don't do that. No. You're screwing up the whole cheese thing. Cheese has got a certain kind of sophistication to it. You're putting it in a can? No. We're not spray canning cheese, seriously. Cheese Whiz, and just the name of it. I mean, to me, when I was growing up, Whiz was something you did, when I was in the woods. Don't take, my friend, the cheese and put Whiz at the end of it. It's not like The Whiz. Remember that movie there, The Wizard of Oz? You remember that, don't you? You probably saw it 2,000 times. By the way, if you haven't seen The Wizard of Oz 2,000 times, you're a newborn. I guess you're a newborn. Then they made an updated version of it, a cultural version, let's call it, called The Wiz. And I kept saying, I get it. Wiz is short for wizard, but it also means other things. And no. I thought The Wiz was about that Kraft cheese at first. And I thought, well, an entire movie, like a feature-length film about Cheese Whiz? This is going to be crazy, man. I don't know what's going to happen or where it's going to go. If there's even a sex scene in it, there probably is, and it's probably quite creative. Cheese in a can. I don't think that's proper. My favorite is mozzarella, Swiss and mozzarella, because they remind me of going to the dentist. When the dentist, works on your teeth and then says spit into the basin, and there's that long drool line of spit that just, it stays there. It's like it connects your mouth to the basin, and it doesn't go away, and it's disgusting. That's what Swiss cheese is to me, and mozzarella cheese, because they create these strings that one is attached to your mouth, the other is to the cheese itself, and you have to like shoo it away like a spider web kind of thing. It's very sloppy and very disgusting. In the winter, one of my favorite soups. Am I talking too much? Wait a minute. Am I talking too much? Am I not letting you talk? I apologize. I've just realized I'm going on and on about cheese, and I am not including you in the conversation. Typical. Whatever. It's probably better this way. If we were to go back and forth about cheese, it would start to get... It's stupid now, but to get back and forth about, you know, what kind of cheese do you like? Oh, I like Swiss. Oh, I do too. What kind of Swiss do you like? Finlandia? Yeah, I love it. Yeah, Swiss from Finland? Yeah. No, then you're having a conversation about cheese. That gets stupid. One guy talking about cheese, I can handle. Two guys talking about cheese, that gets a little weird. It's like there's nothing more important for us to talk about than cheese? Come on. I don't know. Anyway, that's fine. Whatever. Yeah, there's a cheese lady in the supermarket. Yeah, that's her job. I don't know. Do you go to school for that? Do you go to college for that? Is that a major? Liberal arts directly into a specialty in cheese? I don't know. What do you want to do when you grow up someday? As if you might. I want to manage cheese. I want to be the cheese manager in a supermarket. I don't want to be a cashier. I don't want to collect the carts. I want to manage the cheese from the entire world. I want to be the cheese manager. There's a picture of her on the wall near the cashier checkout areas. It shows the managers of all the departments. There's the deli manager, who looks like they should be managing deli meat. Deli managers have a certain look to them, like former postal employees. They're pissed off. Now they're just slicing things. Yeah, yeah. That's by the way, deli meats, oh, that's a lot to manage. That's a tough job. That requires a bachelor's degree. Cheese, not so much. They have a meat manager too. Meat manager, you know that they spent many years with red blood on their aprons and on their white lab coats. I could never, there's one thing I could never be. Well, there's actually a couple of thousand things I could never be, but one of them is a meat butcher. I could never be a butcher. Oh my God. I don't think they go out behind the supermarket and actually kill animals and pack them up. I don't think they do that, but I think they have to, they have blood on their white coats. They have blood. There's people walking around in supermarkets with blood on their clothes. I mean, it's like one of those horror movies. You know, around Halloween, they have all the horror movies on TV, and all the people have blood on their clothes because someone close to them has just been bludgeoned to death, and they picked them up as they were dying and writhing in pain on the floor, and they got blood all over their clothes. That's what a butcher does all the time. The butcher, his job is to hack up animals in some form, and they get blood on them. I think that's what happens. That's been one of my stickling points throughout my entire life. I love animals. I think animals rule. People, not so much. Have you noticed that? It's the scale of sophistication has been altered. I used to think animals were so wild and so animalistic. They kill each other for food and for to survive. One animal will kill another. Humans don't do that. Well, they do in some neighborhoods, but they basically don't kill each other. But animals, this is what they do. This is how they survive. And I thought, wow, that's very animal. Human beings are so sophisticated. And then as I got older, I realized human beings aren't sophisticated. They're a bunch of wandering assholes. They're not sophisticated. They're animals in human clothing is what they are. It's the animals that seem to be more intelligent and more in tune with this life cycle. It's the humans that seem to screw up their own lives. Have you noticed that? Isn't humanity supposed to progress? Aren't we supposed to get more human as the years go on, as we mature sophisticatedly? But no, we're going back to the animal part. We're going backwards. We're not sophisticated. We're a bunch of idiots. We destroy our own planet. Oh, Ron, don't get into this. Are you going to get into environmental affairs? No, I'm just going to make a statement. It seems to be the human job to destroy what they have. Here's something nice. Okay, I'll destroy it over the years. You can't have anything nice. You know, we give you human beings nice things, and we can't give you anything nice. That's what God is probably saying. If God could talk, I don't know God personally. I've tried to communicate. I don't get a lot of responses. God gives us this perfect planet. Perfect. It used to be perfectly round. We screwed that up. Now it's not completely round anymore. I don't know. We give this beautiful planet with the beautiful skies, the fresh water, and what do? We started digging into it. We started mining things out of its core. We started ruining the atmosphere. We did that all. We did that all. This is what we did with it. Here's a nice gift. Thank you. I'll fuck it up for free. It's unbelievable what we've done. And we're getting worse at it. Sir, there are a lot of groups that say, no, we got to protect the environment. That's like one out of a billion people that really do anything about that. Most people just, no, I'm happy with whatever they're doing. I don't want to know what they're doing. It's destroying the planet. Well, I'll be dead in like 20 years. What's the difference? It's just amazing. Our attitude just sucks. We're all out to destroy each other. We find nothing in common. All we search for are the things that we don't have in common, and we harp on those. We're just sucky, sucky people. I said so many times, if there was a spaceship that came from another galaxy or whatever, another universe, whatever, and landed on this planet, and all the flying saucers and the alien beings, they always land next in a trailer park. I don't know why. I guess it's easier to land near a trailer park. I'm not sure. But don't use those people as examples of our society. Or do, because I guess that's accurate. By the way, if you live in a trailer park, I apologize. You're doing the best you can, and there's nothing wrong with a trailer park. They're very nice, and it's fine. So I apologize for that. But alien beings who land on the Earth, I mean, they must look around and say, What are these people doing with their planet? What's wrong with these people? This is the stupidest civilization of things I've ever seen. Look, the animals are more sophisticated than the people. You give people a brain, and look what they do. They use their brain to screw things up. It's true. It's true. We don't know how to take a nice gift. So, I mean, I'm not impressed. And that's why I spent most of the show talking about cheese, because this is what happens. This is always what happens. You know, we open a Pandora's box, Pandora comes out, and you can't shove the stuff back in the box. Who was it who said, I don't know who it was, who said you can't put toothpaste back in the tube? It's difficult to do. It would take you some time, and it's literally impossible. So I get that analogy. I get it. You can't put toothpaste back in the tube, but unfortunately, someone opened up the tube, squeezed some toothpaste out, and now we're screwed because you can't get it back in the tube. It's absolutely true. I don't know. I don't know what the hell's going on anymore. As I said, I don't even know what day this is. I really don't. I think it begins with a T, so it could be Tuesday or Thursday. It could be Thursday. It doesn't make any difference. Thursday is just like Tuesday. It just has a different name to it. That's all. Exactly the same day. Still can't do anything on either day. Anyway, I have a guest on the program today. Where actually, he's an expert. There's two guys involved, I believe. I don't know. I don't know. They're going to talk about wind power. And no, it's not about farting. You see what I'm talking about? Do you see what I'm talking about now? Unsophisticated. Everybody is. We're all like that, you know. We start as children. We sit in classrooms and we don't pay attention and we just want to kid around and make jokes. And then we get older and you go, oh, man, I don't have an education. I don't know where Alaska is. I think it's up north because there's pictures of Eskimos involved. Are only Eskimos living in Alaska? And is that north of Sacramento? I don't even know. I didn't pay attention in school. I guess I should have. Just because you graduated high school doesn't mean anything. I mean, you can be smart and not graduate high school. You can be stupid and graduate high school. Really, it's not a mark of anything. I'm glad I wasn't homeschooled, I'll tell you right now. My mother knew nothing. She knew nothing. She was the nicest lady in the world, best mother I've ever had. But no, not smart. Not smart at what happened. She went to college and everything, but didn't work out because you can't learn everything in a classroom and then be shoved out the door and expect that that's going to work. You might be knowledgeable in what you studied in school, but I don't know how to walk. I have no idea how to pay a bill. Nobody taught me any of this stuff. That's the stuff they should be to screw the whole history thing. That's all wrong anyway. They shouldn't even teach history. They should say, well, we'll teach history when we figure out what really happened. But until then, enough of the storytelling, you know. That's all that is, storytelling. We don't know what happened in the past. Well, we do, Ron, if we lived through it. Yeah, okay, then teach that. But the stuff before that that nobody lived through, that's all hearsay. That would be thrown out in a court anyway. So that's hearsay, man. Hearsay. My guest is going to join us momentarily, and that should be exciting for somebody.
Do you know that there is one item that can not only increase your home's beauty, but its value? That would be placemats. Hello, I'm George Karanapikopoulos, owner of George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse, your one-stop for all your placemat needs. We have a placemat for every room of your house. That's right, placemats are not just for the dining room anymore. Anywhere you might make a spill, or maybe where you eat, like in front of the TV, I do it all the time like you. You want a placemat. We have fancy placemats, like in bamboo or teak. That's right, teak. Nice plastic laminate ones for no stains, even blue. We can custom make you placemats in as little as 2 weeks. Come to our showroom at the intersection of Route 27 and the Holbrook Turnpike. You're going to like what you see. Your placemat is waiting for you at George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse.
Good morning, Ron. This is Tom Kiernan.
Hello, Tom. Tom Kiernan is here, and so is Neil Gingard. Tom is the CEO of American Wind Energy Association, and Neil is a 12-year veteran wind technician and founder of Tower Climbing Grease Monkeys. Oh, interesting name. We're talking about wind power, which is progressing. Like 5-6 years ago, it wasn't as conversational. Now this is really coming along, isn't it?
Exactly, Ron. And that's one of the main purposes this year for American Wind Week is to be able to celebrate with the American public the growth of wind energy. We're now the number one renewable energy source in the country, and we're rapidly growing. We expect to be at about 20% wind energy in the country in the next decade. We will be hiring a lot of folks from our currently 120,000 employees. We should be well over 200,000. And there's the whole offshore wind sector that's growing as well.
Now, decades ago, there was a big controversy about it and the safety of it and to wildlife, that kind of thing. This is all over the years been fairly resolved. Is that correct?
we're pleased that we have used technology and different approaches to reduce our environmental impact. Wind workers care dearly about whether it's the birds or bats or other impact, and we are able to kind of site the wind farms in the right places. Let's not put them in important flyways or what have you. So we are doing a better job at siting them and using technology to make sure the birds either stay away, or if they're in the area of a wind farm, we shut down that wind farm while a bird passes through. So we are pleased with that, and the cost of wind energy has dropped precipitously, about 70% in the last 10 years. So we're the cheapest source of new electricity in virtually all parts of the country.
Yeah, let me ask you about wind power worldwide. Those that travel will obviously take note that this is not a new technology for most countries on the globe here. As much as it may be for the United States, this is a fairly common and growing source of energy worldwide, actually.
I mean, you can think back, whether it's the Netherlands or certain places down in Africa where they had wind energy, I mean, for 100 plus years ago. But what's exciting in the last, say, 10 years is the technological advances, where we've got computer software managing it, where the blades are much, much lighter and longer. So the whole high-tech revolution has come to the wind industry, and as a result, they're a whole lot more efficient, cost-effective, cleaner. So it's great to see this new energy source, for the country be now so cost-effective, and the benefit, our consumer electricity rates are going down because of wind energy.
Good, good. I mean, the more we can use what's been given to us, I wouldn't say God-given necessarily, but what's been given to us by nature, and utilizing that, that was a suggestion, use nature to simply take care of your energy, or at least a good percentage of it. Yeah.
And here in the United States, across the middle part of the country, we've got a lot of wind across the plains. It just is constantly blowing out there. And then off the East Coast, the offshore wind is constant and strong. So these are resources, you know, we don't have to pay for the fuel, so to speak.
Correct.
And just putting the turbines in there, we're able to create electricity, and it's clean, affordable electricity.
Yep. Now, it's private companies that usually lead the way in technology, and I'm sure that's the case now. Are there a lot of companies that we may even be familiar with that are actually going this road to develop?
Well, it's exciting on the manufacturing front. It's countries like GE, General Electric, and Siemens, and Vestas making the turbines. But what's also exciting, companies like McDonald's, Walmart, General Motors are buying the electricity. So these are your mainstream. It's also, yes, Microsoft and Facebook, high-tech companies, but your well-known brands are buying wind energy because it's affordable, it's reliable, it just makes good business sense. So that, from my perspective, just adds that reference, that reinforcement that wind energy is just a great value for the American public.
That's that's perfect. Someday McDonald's will sell hamburgers by saying they were wind energy produced.
Well, it was fun last Super Bowl. Budweiser talked about their wind energy producing the electricity for all their brewing. Yeah. So, companies are proud to talk about the use of clean wind energy.
Okay. Let's talk about the actual building of them. This, I assume, is on the rise as well. They're popping up, and they're being built efficiently.
Absolutely. Wind turbines are popping up all over, especially through the Midwest. We've kind of over, the past decade, got the low-hanging fruit, so to speak. Developed areas, throughout Texas, Iowa, Oklahoma. But as we get better at this, developing companies and even private developing companies are putting up met towers throughout the country. And imagine it's like, when you have to drill for oil, that's a really painstaking thing. Mm-hmm. This is a lot cheaper. Yeah. You're erecting a tower 300-400 feet in the air, and you're measuring the wind. And if it's not windy there, you move it to the next place, and you measure another place, and you're seeing where the wind resources are, and we're mapping it all out, and we're figuring out where the best places to put specific turbine types are. And, man, these guys that are building, these men and women that are building these wind farms are some skilled people, and we're getting better and better at it. You can build a 300-megawatt wind farm within 9 months. That's remarkable. When I started, you know, in 2007, 2008, it took us a lot longer to build those farms, and now we're really cranking them out.
That's perfect. How can people get more information about all of this?
Well, we encourage your listeners to go to AmericanWindWeek.org, AmericanWindWeek.org, and you can learn more about wind energy. You can learn how to get involved and support it or volunteer with the industry, especially in these challenging times with COVID, et cetera. We're looking for things to celebrate, and wind energy is something to celebrate, and it's why we have American Wind Week this week, and people should go to AmericanWindWeek.org.
And we're looking for technicians, you know, yeah, young, old, it doesn't matter. We need more people, and we need to grow. And so go check it out.
Well, Neil's right. We're hiring. So
wow.
Good jobs, well-paying, benefits. So check out and potentially join our industry. We'd love to have you.
Let me ask you very, very quickly here. Are there actually places that you can go to school, get an education in it, and pretty much have a nice career?
Absolutely. Throughout the nation, there are trade schools. You can take a six-week course. You can even take a two-year course. You pick and choose what works for you. Across the nation, you can find different places to get educated. Matter of fact, they're hiring people off the street. I'm not kidding. On-the-job training.
I got it. I love it. That's a good news thing. Tom Kiernan and Neil Gingard, thank you so much for your time today. We're out of time for today. I'm going to be back again tomorrow. I think tomorrow's Wednesday. Ooh, that's going to be fun. Middle of the week already. Ooh. Join me tomorrow, will you? Click on me anytime tomorrow or listen to me on your radio station, whatever you're doing as a platform. Are you on a platform right now? Okay. One thing I always say at the end of every program, I wish you peace, and I do.